Well, hello, everybody. I'm really honored to be here, and I think I should probably start with how this got started with me being here. You remember the White Stone ceremony that we did, I don't know, 4 weeks ago? I guess it's February 1st today, so that had been around January 1st. Well, the word that I got was fearless. And so I think when you make an intention like that, or you have a vision like that, every single thing that's the opposite that will, get you to be fearless will come up. And for me, speaking is probably the thing that scares me more than anything in the whole world. But despite all that, I have been speaking for the last, it'll be a year in March. I've been literally all over the world speaking. But one of the things that I learned, and I'm hoping you guys will help me with this, is that if you stand in the Wonder Woman pose for a few minutes, it will lower the cortisol and it will raise the testosterone. So I'm hoping all you guys can stand up with me and do the Wonder Woman pose. Thank you. Thank you. And just so you know, that is the first of three times I'm going to have you get up out of your seat. One of the strategies I've taken in my speaking is to get the audience really involved. And I think that's sort of the topic of my talk is being the Christ. Because I think a lot of us, come to a church and we want to hear somebody else speak about it. But the truth is, all of us are the Christ. And that is why we are here. And one thing that's really nice for me, I speak a lot about energy because that's what my book is about. But to be able to come to a church and be able to use the terminology, the Christ, is really fabulous for me. And I want to talk a little bit about my definition of the Christ. And I did write it down here, one of my bookmarks. That could be scary. okay, being the Christ. Oh, and I also want to say, you guys may not know this, but Smokey the Bear was actually invented first in Kansas. One of my books is Kansas Curiosity. And his Kansas Curiosities, and he was actually first invented in Atwood, Kansas, by a guy named, I wrote it down here, Rudolph Wendelin. And the reason I'm telling you that story is because most people think it's Smokey the Bear. It's actually Smokey Bear. That's the correct term. And most people think Jesus Christ, but it's Jesus the Christ. So it's actually the opposite of Smokey. And Jesus was like the first guy to be the Christ, so that's what we're all here to be. We are here to be the Christ as well. And so here's my definition of being the Christ. Living in your infinite magnificence, being open to the sustenance of life, bringing your best game, loving everyone and everything you see, giving up the old story that you're a victim, that so-and-so did you wrong, that you're too old to follow your dream, that you can't lose the weight, be the person you were meant to be. And so to me, being the Christ is answering to that voice. We all have two voices in our head. There's the voice that tells us we cannot do something, and that actually gets the floor in most of our minds quite a bit of time. There's also this other voice, this river of life, this divine buzz that is always there for our use. It's always there. It's the energy I talk about in my book, E Squared. It's the Christ consciousness. It's God. So we really need to make a choice of which one we want to serve, which of these two voices in our heads that we want to serve. And here's where we're going to, and I'm going to talk a little bit about why it happened that way. So I want everybody to get up again. This is number two. So I want everybody to cross your arms like this. Okay, now notice which arm is on top. Okay, so now I want you to go like this, and then try to cross your arms where the other arm is on top. It feels weird. Yes. And that's what has happened to us. We've shrunk our energy down, and we've got all these presets.
Can we sit down?
Yes, you can sit down. Thank you. Thank you. So we get stuck in these patterns and assumptions and beliefs that don't serve us. And we've memorized these patterns of behavior in our bodies. We've learned a lot of mental constructs that are getting in the way of all we're meant to be, of being the Christ that we're meant to be. A lot of us get up every morning, we turn off the alarm with the exact same finger, we shuffle to the bathroom the exact same pattern, We brush our teeth. We do the whole routine exactly the same day after day. We go off to work, take the same route. We come home, have dinner, watch our same programs, go to bed and get up and do it all over again. It's the same thing. So we've memorized these preset buttons that, you know, just like on a radio, and some of the habits, some of the preset buttons that we've got are, you know, our habits of needing to be right, habits of needing to be liked, and the worst habit is this habit we all have for looking for problems that we can address and fix instead of living in joy. So we have replaced reality, the Christ reality, with this tiny condensed version that we have memorized in our bodies. But luckily, the essence of who we are is a whole lot more. There's this river of life, like I said, that is constantly there wanting to flow through us. This river of life is just this amazing, beautiful thing. And sometimes in meditation, you can feel it. Sometimes, for me, I'll just be walking across the kitchen floor and I just feel this joy, this magnificent joy. That's when that other voice isn't preempting that truth. I think all of us have a lot of, you know, time when that other voice gets in the way. And I was going to start my talk with, I just realized, so I'm going to go ahead and say it now. My father was a Methodist minister, and so every Saturday night when I wasn't sleeping, and usually they put me to bed early, but I often stayed awake anyway, I would hear my father giving his sermon practicing to my mother. So anyway, I heard a lot of sermons, and you know, wow, who knew that I was going to end up eventually giving a sermon? But anyway, one of the bulletins, I always thought it was funny to read some of the sermons on bulletins, and one of my favorites was, the Sunday morning service was, Jesus walks on water. The Sunday evening service was, looking for Jesus. So anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. So, I thought about even getting one of those big cardboard cutouts. You know those ones, like I think they had at the library, John Brown, and you could go put your face in there to be John Brown. I think they just did that this weekend. But you know, you go to a tourist destination, and then you can be the historical figure, put your head there. So I thought, oh, I should get a picture of Jesus, and then we could all stand up here and, you know, put our head there. But I decided not to do that, that I would just talk about it instead. And yesterday, I heard on NPR, on This American Life, they had run a BBC special that had run about William Burroughs. And this would be his 101st birthday coming up this week, and that's why they reran this special. But that's one of the things, Lawrence has always been known for William Burroughs. We've had this special identity. And I guess one of the things, which I'm really proud of that, I love William Burroughs. And I think that's one of our responsibilities here is to, from Lawrence, take this divine magnificence, the same way, you know, William Burroughs is known all over the world. And I think our church and all of us can continue, not continue his message, but have our own message of magnificence. You know, he had his own message of magnificence, but that's what we're here for. That's why we come to churches, so we can learn to be who we're meant to be. St. Catherine of Siena said that if you become who you are meant to be, you can set the world on fire. And I think that's what we as a church are wanting to do, set the world on fire. So now I'm going to talk about three errors that have separated us from God or the Christhood. The first one is that only Jesus, Joshua ben Joseph, could do it, that he's different from us. He's a guy with halos over his head. He lived 200 years ago. He walked on water 2,000 years ago, I guess it was. But he came to know his true identity, and he let the river of life, this divine buzz, have its way with him. In fact, the reason I got motivated to do this talk is I'm now doing this book. It's called The Way of Mastery. And I've been a longtime student of Course in Miracles, and that's, I mean, for 20 years I've been doing the Course in Miracles, and that was, you know, Jesus telling us, hey, this is what I really meant. And this is also Jesus. It was written a little bit sooner, and it's 35 lessons that supposedly he was given as he was becoming the Christ. And so I'm totally in love with this book, and my dedication for this year is to, today's the 32nd day of the year, so I'm on lesson 32, and there's 35 lessons, and when I finish 35, I'm going to start over with lesson number one until I really get this, because I really want to get this. I want to be the Christ. That's my goal. So anyway, when Edna, I think, said, what you're talking to me about, I happened to be reading the chapter about 30-day practice that you do of being the Christ. So that is what we're going to ultimately be learning here, this practice. So let me see, where was I? Okay, so so one of the blocks is that we believe that that Jesus was the only one that could do it. And lots of other human minds, human consciousnesses, have also done this, like Gandhi, the Buddha. And the truth is that we too are the Son of God. We too are the bearers of light. And we too have the superpower of love, because that's what Jesus had, the superpower of love. And this is such an amazing power that all of us have and that all of us get to use in our lifetime. You know, you can take all the career tests you want or whatever, but no matter what, your job in this life is to give love. I mean, that's what you're here for. So the second thing that gets in the way of us realizing our Christhood is that you have to seek, that it takes time. Jesus didn't say, seek and ye shall find someday. It's right here at any moment you want it. It's who you are. This river of life, it's what scabs over, you know, when you fall and get a boo-boo. It's what grows trees. It's this magnificent energy that is always with us. And it's what beats our heart. It's what makes the sun come up. And this rich substance of the universe is ours to do with as we wish. And we need to do nothing. I mean, we need to do nothing. So that's the third thing that gets in the way, that somehow we have to earn it, that we have to follow these seven steps or do these three things. And in the church, it usually involves ashes on your head or tithing or following the letter, these Ten Commandments. But Jesus came and said, do-overs. That's why he came, to say, no, this is right here. This is who you are. And that is the message that we are. That's the way of mastery. So here's the three things that I'm going to ask you guys to do to do these 30 days of being the Christ. The first one is to realize that creation is a process that is still happening and we're in on it. We are here. We are part of this endless creativity. So God created us. He created a thing that continues to create. And I think a lot of us maybe have some kind of guilt about that. Like, our desire is actually holy. Our desire is expanding the Christhood. That is why we're here. I know for me, I had a lot of guilt. I remember, you know, I really wanted this slick chick bicycle. It was a Schwinn, and we lived in this little town called Canton. And my dad, after me wanting and desiring this thing, actually drove me over to McPherson, and we got the little bike, and we're riding it back. But I remember kind of just sitting there feeling a little bit guilty. You know, like, here's this thing I really, really wanted, but I remember sitting there in the car as we drove home kind of feeling guilty, like, oh, I shouldn't have that. So I think that's what the kind of the human condition. We feel a little guilty for wanting, for desiring, and we should feel completely innocent about that. That it's a holy thing, that it's us expanding, and that it's really why we are here, to expand the Godhead, to expand the Christhead. So God gave us autonomy, freedom, and grace to keep self-creating even further. So we need to be really innocent about that. And so the Father has set the table before us with everything for us, every blade of grass, every person, everything is our opportunity, our gift, and we need to embrace that. So the second thing, and this is what I learned in this book, is, and this is what I'd like you guys to commit to, it's 5 minutes a day, how easy is that? And where you sit and you be the Christ for 5 minutes every day for the next 30 days. And I've been doing it since January 7th, because it came up in lesson number 7. So that's when I started doing it. And what you do is you sit in a chair and you survey your kingdom, you know, what you have created. You take responsibility that, you know, I created this. And you claim all that's happening is your choice. You watch it innocently with curiosity and being proud of your ability to create this thing that you created around you. And here is something that it is a quote from here. I have literally created this experience. This is what you'd think to yourself. Something within me is so grand, so powerful, so vast, that I have literally crystallized into the field of experience and awareness of being in a body in space and time. It has come forth from the field of my consciousness, the gift to me of God, who asked only that I learn to create as God creates. So 5 minutes a day, sit there and be the Christ. So that's your assignment for the next 30 days. 5 minutes, that's all you have to do. The last thing is to really use your superpower of love. We misunderstand love. We've been misunderstanding love for so long. We think it's something that happens with one other person. We think it's only, we only love things that we judge as good. Love is something that we can do at every moment and everything we look at. You know, this, you can just look at love. And here's a story how that kind of came to me. I walk my dog Izzy, and I live in North Lawrence, and there's railroad tracks over there, and most people think of them as an eyesore. Me too, probably. But one day I was being open and I was seeing love. I was being love, being Christ. So I'm walking along with Izzy by the railroad tracks, and in this one square block or one square little street, whatever, I saw eight tiny little flowers of all colors that people would say are weeds. This was such a miracle to me. And I think that is really, there are miracles all around us. And so by noticing those things, by loving all that, all everything like that, you can realize how much love you have. So giving love to each moment is one way to love. You know, give up our misperceptions about love, that again, it has to happen with just one person. And then also learning to love and own even those things that we judge as not what we want. In fact, judgment is probably one of the biggest traps that keeps us from love. When we judge something as negative or as something we don't want, then we put up some kind of block, we nip off 50% of the possibilities, we're not open to that river of life. So it's really important to love every condition and to claim it as your creation and to put all your love into it and to realize that everything is a doorway to truth. Every negative thing that you've judged, when you judge it, then you put up the fences and you don't let it come through. If you can just observe it and just look at it, you can transmute it with your love. So it's really important to love everything. I know one of the lessons I had to learn about this is I had a tendency not to love a political party that was the opposite of my political party. And I spent a lot of time in thinking I was really doing a lot to change the world, and I was marching for peace, and I was doing all this stuff. And I realized that I was just promoting the same energy that I had been, you know, railing against, actually. So now I've learned to love, or I'm working on this still, you know, to love every political opponent. I don't even consider them an opponent anymore. They're my sister and my brother working together with me to create, you know, the kingdom of love. So it's really, you know, a great thing to start loving every single thing and to take it as your responsibility to realize, you know, we are quantum effects animators. You know, we are creating everything in our life. And once you look at it with childlike glee, like everything, look at it like, wow, this is like the Lifetime movie of the week that I've created here. Or, you know, whatever, it's a really interesting drama, interesting story. And to really claim it and own it and love it, and then it can be transmuted. So I have one last story, and I have no idea how long I've talked because I tend to go kind of go blank when I'm up here talking. But this is a story about the river of life that I just love. There is a carousel of happiness out in Nederland, Colorado. Has anybody been there, seen it? Oh, cool. Well, you know the story about Scott Harrison then. He was in Vietnam. He got his knee blown up 7 months after he'd been over there, so he was sent back with a disability. His knee was shredded by a grenade, and he was airlifted out of the battlefield, and he comes back to America, an America, he says, that couldn't look a soldier in the eye. He'd already had a lot of kind of what he called family dysfunction. You know, his dad didn't accept him. You know, just all that stuff, all those old stories that we've been telling forever. But anyway, so he came back, was just totally depressed. He started drinking, he was doing drugs, and basically he isolated, which I think a lot of us do. He got a degree at the University of Texas. He migrated to San Jose, California, and he worked in a boatyard. So he eventually built himself this 32-foot schooner, and he was going to sell it around the world. So he's out there, you know, in a schooner, he's sailing around the world, but just kind of thinking, man, I'd be happy if a big wave would come over and just knock me over. I wouldn't care. You know, that would end it all. But what happened on the eighth day that he was out there, a whale came up to his boat and looked him in the eye. That whale swam with him for 4 hours. He said he had never felt loved like that in his entire life. No one had looked at him like that in his entire life. It completely changed him. He came back. Now he's all about happiness and joy, and he built this carousel. You know, those same boat-making skills, woodworking skills, he created this carousel of happiness in Nederland. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is that even if you don't want to do the Wonder Woman pose and you don't want to do the 5 minutes a day, this spirit of life will find you. It's going to track you down and find you. So anyway, thank you very much for letting me come speak.